Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. And while we get ready to read these verses, keep in mind this subject: believe and receive Him. Believe and receive Him. Let's begin reading John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now that's John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. And in the subject that we're dealing with today, you see that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him in order to become a son of God. And a lot of people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've probably only met a half a dozen people or less who didn't believe that there was a Jesus Christ. And I'm not even sure that it's been that many. I know I can count them on one hand, but may just be two or three folks. The trouble is, those that believe in Jesus Christ, many have failed to receive Him, and thus they're still lost. They're still not the sons of God. There's a big difference between believing that somebody is what he said he was. There's a big difference between believing that and actually receiving Him and trusting Him fully for your salvation. So many people that name the name of Jesus are trusting something else that's usually tied with their religion or some religious training. But in this case, practicing the creed and religion would not make them a son of God. Now, you need to believe and receive Him because of several things. First of all, you need to believe and receive Jesus Christ because of John's witness. Look again in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist was a messenger especially born to bear witness to the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was. His parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, couldn't have children, and Zacharias went into the temple at the time of prayer and the offering of incense. An angel appeared to him and told him he was going to have a son, and he didn't believe him. So he was dumb until the boy was born. It was miraculous because they were beyond childbearing age. When that boy was born, Zacharias could speak, said his name's going to be John. And from that time that he was, you know, young, old enough to take care of himself, but after he left the house, he went out into the wilderness and ate locust and honey and all that kind of stuff. And then he showed himself to Israel when it was time to announce the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was prophesied in Malachi chapter 3 that God would send a messenger before his son. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, it's kind of an interesting thing. He says he's going to prepare the way before me, and the person talking is God. And yet when God came, he came in Jesus Christ. And so John the Baptist came to announce and herald that God had come in the flesh. He was a messenger sent from God to announce the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also came so that Jesus Christ would not have to bear witness of himself alone. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. In other words, one man alone could not witness and testify of himself. He would need other witnesses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. So verse 32 says, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So John came, and the people really got fired up about it at first. But slowly but surely, some of them began to trail away because they realized that it was going to cost them something in their reputation with the Pharisees. So John was a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the reasons that you need to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ is because of John's testimony. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And in order for you to be saved, your sins have to be dealt with. And the only person who has ever come to this earth who could do anything about your sin problem was the Lord Jesus Christ, and John bare witness to that. He backed up what Jesus Christ said he was going to do. And because he bears witness to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his witness coupled with the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to convince you of your personal need to believe that Jesus Christ was real and your personal need to receive him in order that he may take your sins away. Now, not only should you believe and receive Jesus Christ because of John's witness, but you ought to believe and receive Jesus Christ because of Jesus' light. Look at verse 9. That was the true, capital L-I-G-H-T. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So you ought to believe and receive Jesus Christ because of his light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But in John chapter 1, verse 1, John said he was the Word. Well, that's an interesting thing. Because you can go back into the Old Testament and you can see the connection between the Word of God and light. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look at verse 105, and notice what it says. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." So there is a connection between the Word of God and light. By the Word of God, you can see things that are eternal and invisible that you could not see if it were not for the Word of God. Notice again in Psalm 119, verse 130. The Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." So when the Word of God shows up, there is light, and it causes you to be able to see. When Jesus Christ showed up, there was light, and it caused those who would to see. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word, and Jesus Christ is light. So notice what happened to him in John chapter 8 when he began to discuss with the Pharisees their need to believe in him and to receive him. They didn't want to do it. They thought he was born of fornication. In other words, that he was the bastard child of Joseph and Mary. That's blasphemous. They believed that they were the children of God, and they believed they were children of Abraham, and therefore that they had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know something? His light came into the world. The men loved darkness rather than light, and so they rejected him. So what did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 8, verse 42? Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So here, Jesus Christ comes into the world as light. Light is shed on the words of God. Jesus Christ talks to these Pharisees and tells them, in fact, that they are out of line with God, and that, in fact, God is not their Father, because they will not receive his words, and that if they would receive his words, then they would know they were of God. Jesus Christ was of God, proceeded forth from God, and came, but the Pharisees were not of God and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected the light. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let me tell you something. Until I met the Lord Jesus Christ personally, I had no light and had no understanding of the words of God to see, in fact, that what I was doing was wrong and that I needed to change. But when I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and his words began to be revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, and his light began to shine on the sin of my life and to build in me some of the image of his glory as that sin began to leave, until those things happened, I tell you what, I had nothing. I was in darkness and in blindness and in selfishness and in pride and all those other kind of things. So one of the reasons you need to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ is because of his light. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And so once you believe him and once you receive him, he will give you light on God's words where you can understand those things about the Bible you cannot understand. People have told me before, I don't understand it. One of the things that comes to mind is perhaps you're not saved. Perhaps you don't have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ where you can see it. Now, you need to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ because of John's witness, because of Jesus' light. Listen, he's the only light that's real. The sunlight by which you go during the daytime sets and turns to darkness. The night artificial light by which you go in the nighttime eventually burns out. It's artificial. It's not real. Do you ever want to have real light, real understanding, real communion and fellowship with God? Come to God through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in the words of God. See? And then you'll have real understanding and real light, and you'll really be a saved person. All right. You want to believe Jesus Christ and receive him because of the witness of John, because of the light of Jesus Christ, and because of the rejection of the world. You want to receive him because of the world's rejection. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I don't know if you realize this, but the world always runs contrary to God. You know that. For instance, the sun runs one direction and the earth rotates another. They are opposed to each other. The sun, according to the Bible, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Malachi chapter 4 and Psalm 19. They move in opposite directions. The world is always opposed to God, and God is always opposed to the world. And when the world rejected Jesus Christ, that in itself gave him credibility that, in fact, he was who he said he was. If the world had applauded him and given him honor and praise and glory, you'd have known he was the wrong guy. But the world didn't do that. The world rejected him because he's contrary to the world. Look at a few verses along this line. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And notice, first of all, what the Bible says concerning the world in verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, they don't get along. God is contrary to the world. The world is contrary to God. If you want to be a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. If you want to be a friend of God, you're going to be an enemy of the world. And because the world rejected Jesus Christ, that gives him credibility that he is, in fact, who he said he was, the Son of God, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and to make children of God of those who were born children of the devil. Look again in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. John says, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So Jesus Christ came and did the will of God, and the world rejected him. The world is going to pass away. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Everything that is in the world is based on lust and pride, completely contrary to the Father. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. And since the world is going to pass away, he says, don't fall in love with the world, neither the things that are in the world. Remember when Peter rebuked Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 because Jesus said he was going to go to the cross and die? Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You see, that's the problem. If Jesus Christ had wanted to, he could have earned the praise of men with all those miracles he did and with all that food that he gave them out in the wilderness, feeding 5,000 men on one occasion and 4,000 men on another occasion. With all of that power that he had given to him by God Almighty, where he could call down legions of angels to protect himself. There's no reason in the world why Jesus Christ could not have been immediately the most popular figure in the world. As a matter of fact, he had to run from them because they wanted to make him king after he fed the 5,000. He had it made, as far as that's concerned. But he kept preaching truth and light shined on the deeds of evil are going to cause the person who brings that truth and that light to be rejected. Like Paul said to the Galatians, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So you know by the world's rejecting that Jesus Christ is a very credible witness. You know that by the witness of John the Baptist, that in fact Jesus Christ was the credible witness who he said he was. And you know by the amount of light that came from him. Imagine, man, what he was able to do. He was able to give understanding to children. And he was able to raise the dead. Light of the world. Well, there's another reason why you would want to believe and receive Jesus Christ. It's not only because of John's witness or Jesus' light or the world's rejection, but because of the Jews' rejection, specifically that nation of people. Verse 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own were Jews. He said in John chapter 4, salvation of the Jews, because Jesus Christ was born a Jew. He came unto his own received him not. He was of the tribe of Judah. And the fact that the Jews rejected him is also something that gives him credibility as a real witness, gives him credibility as the man that you should believe and receive. Look in Romans chapter 11. Now I'm right in the middle of a context here, but because we just studied the book of Romans, we won't deal with the whole context. Romans 11:11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. They're talking about the Jews. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So the Jews' rejection of Jesus Christ is what opened the door for us to be saved the way we're saved now. And he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts of calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. They rejected him outright. And the fact that they did, according to what Paul is preaching here in Romans chapter 11, is what opened up the gospel to us. But God's not through with them. We obtain mercy because of their unbelief. And as a result of that, you and I should most definitely realize that in fact he is the right God. He is the right Savior. John chapter 5 verse 43. John chapter 5 verse 43, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Watch it. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So you got this situation then. Jesus Christ prophesied, said, if another come in his own name, him you will receive. Well, from time to time, there have been men who have professed to be Christ that they receive, but soon the Antichrist will come, and when he does, then you're going to know beyond the shadow of a doubt who he is, because the Jews are going to receive him. It was the Messiah that they rejected, and they don't take him until there's just a remnant left. And that ought to give you reason, according to what Paul said in Romans 11 and what Jesus said in John chapter 5, to realize he's the one you need to believe and receive. But not only that, you need to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, not only because of John's witness, in other words, that God said, hey, I'm going to send a messenger before me, and then God does, and here comes the man, Jesus. And not only because of his light, you'll never get more light out of anything in this world than you will out of Jesus. Try him and see if I'm not telling you the truth. Not only because of that, but because of the world's rejection. They'll always turn down the right thing. The world always does. And the Jews' rejection. But also because of God's promise. You ought to believe and receive Jesus Christ because of God's promise. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So what he says here, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, so it's not enough to merely believe in Jesus Christ. You must receive him. In 1 John chapter 3, John says to the folks he's writing, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, when somebody believes in Jesus Christ, but they haven't received him, you know what they always do? They always postpone the transaction of becoming a son of God until a later date. By that I mean they have no assurance whether they're going to make it to heaven or not. They have none. A person who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but has believed in Jesus Christ, generally practices some kind of religion, hoping that by the time they die, they can be judged by God as having been faithful to what they believe, so that God can then give them Jesus Christ and therefore make them a son of God and therefore give them eternal life. Let me tell you something. If you wait until after you die for an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, you will have waited too long. You don't earn the right to receive Jesus Christ by doing religious things now. As a matter of fact, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you will notice some things. One of the things you'll notice that is immediately you have assurance that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. I remember just the other day we were knocking on some doors, and I walked up to a fellow's door and I said, the reason that we're in your neighborhood knocking on your door is for one main thing. We are interested in your soul. We want to know if you know where you'll spend eternity. And he said, sir, there is no doubt about it in my mind. I know exactly where I'm going to spend eternity. I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'll be in heaven with him when I die. Now, you might not be able to say anything like that with that much certainty, with that much authority, with that much assurance. You might think that he was being presumptuous. He wasn't. He was only doing what the Bible said. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God promised, and God cannot lie, that he would make you a son of God if you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. In other words, he's ready for you to receive him now and be as a son of God now. And he says, which were born not of blood. I don't care what religion you were born into or what family you were born into, you cannot be born into the family of God by blood birth. And the reason is your blood birth puts you in Adam's family, and in Adam's family all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. So there's no way by your natural blood birth or your religion of birth to be saved. There's no way. I don't care how you put it. I know the other day I visited with a fellow. He answered the door and he said, sir, I was born saved. It's impossible, because God said, which were born not of blood. Your blood birth can't give you eternal life, nor of the will of the flesh. No matter how much you try to put down the flesh or reform the flesh or modify the flesh or counsel the flesh, nothing you do in the will of the flesh is going to give you eternal life and make you a son of God. There's nothing you can do to make that transaction happen. He says, nor of the will of man. If you make up your mind that you want eternal life by your will, you can't make it happen because it wasn't man's idea in the first place. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was God's idea. And there's not a man on the face of this earth who has ever been able to come up with a system of salvation that will work. The only system of salvation is a salvation that is in a man, not in a religion or things, because it wasn't man's idea. He says they were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. It was a miraculous new birth that took place the moment the person received Jesus Christ as their Savior. The other day we were here in church. I don't preach for what's called retreads. I believe if a person's saved, they're saved. But if you preach in the plain gospel and somebody in there is not saved, the Holy Spirit of God is going to point that out. And I preached the other day, and a young lady, a college-age girl, came forward. Now, we'd known this girl for a pretty good while and had believed when she was younger in a church school that she had gotten saved. She came forward and she professed that she wasn't saved and that she needed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior, which she did. Then later she called her mother to tell her how thankful she was that God had saved her. And you know what the deal was? She had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but she had not received him by faith. Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So my encouragement to you is today that check yourself, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, but you have never received him, then please receive him today by faith so that you can become a son of God for the reasons that John gave you right here in the text that we've studied today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.